All right, it's good to see everybody. Amen. Seems like a lifetime since I've been here. Up here, anyway. You guys are like, you left? Anyway, I just want to give you a quick update. It's great to see everybody. Great to see everybody. We've been back a couple times in the last week, but it's great to see everybody. Looking forward to talking to you after the service. Just want to give you a quick update on what's happening in Fresno. Basically, we've got regular, I would say, a church group of about 25 to 40 people, depending on the week. We have several families that travel from long distances out of town, much like here. So those are a little bit, they're there some weeks and they're not there other weeks. It's a faithful group, though, down in Fresno, and we've got a lot of support now. It was harder starting at the beginning than it is now, because now we have, faithful churchgoers that are helping carry the load, which is, just a huge blessing, and it's the same thing here, right? It was harder when we just first started out. We felt like we had to do everything ourselves, but that's getting easier now. Solid soul winning. Of the people that come to church, we have near 100% soul winning participation from people who are old enough to go soul winning. The kids go out as well. We've got, I think, 206 salvations at this point. So the soul winning has just been great. People are really excited about it. We have a Saturday soul winning time and a Sunday soul winning time. Kind of the way things have worked out is, since we do have people traveling from out of town, our big day ends up being Sunday, even though we're still having the main day on Saturday. But people just stay in town and stay at church pretty much all day long on Sunday. So that's, people are really getting to know each other and getting some, relationships built there as well. But it's really exciting to actually see people grow. I'm seeing, my family grow, I'm growing, but just to see people grow, we're seeing marriages get stronger, we're seeing, the Bible work like it's supposed to, and it's really exciting to be part of that. I have to say that, we wouldn't be able to do any of it if it wasn't for the support of you all here, the staff here. I talk to Pastor at least once a week. I have a phone call with Pastor. He's counsel on whatever I need, whatever we need, technically or physically for the church. So the church here, I was before, but I'm really a believer in this satellite model. I mean, it really works well. I've never done this before, and it's great to have, that support structure there. I have to say, I also wouldn't have been able to do any of this stuff if it wasn't for my family. I mean, with my wife helping out, I mean, Ashley is like an expert on the piano now. I don't know how that happened, but it just happened just like that. And not that you weren't good before, honey. I'm sorry. But anyway, no, it's just been great. Garrett with the AV ministry, and we've got some guys helping out in different areas of the church as well. But without my family, none of it would have been possible. So I feel like I don't really do much, actually, when it comes to seeing the details of what it takes, to keep a church running and to get a church going. Don't take that for granted. There's a lot going on behind the scenes, from bulletins to, announcements, to just updating everything, cleaning the building. I mean, as all of you know, I mean, these things need to be done. Somebody needs to put the chairs back after the fellowship and all these things, every single service, So don't take those things for granted. Don't take preaching for granted. I mean, whenever there's a guest preacher that comes down, I just love sitting down and just listening to the preaching, because, I miss it. So don't take it for granted when you're sitting in the chairs listening to the preaching. So that's, just thank you to everyone here. Things are going well. I'm trying to get better at what I do, but I'm fumbling through it, and we'll get better at it as we go. So I just want to just give you that update. For a couple minutes, things are going well. We're getting into a routine, so things are kind of, we're not really on cruise control, but at some point we'll get there. So anyway, back to my family. On the sermon tonight, I have two teenage kids, which is an incredible blessing to me in my life right now, especially with, the needs that we have at the church and all of these types of things. But this is kind of what, I've been thinking about, teenagers and young people and growing up and what it takes to grow up in a world like we all live in. And that's kind of where the sermon came from tonight. So if you open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 3, 1 Samuel chapter 3, I just want to give, I'm going to take advantage of the family integrated church tonight. So Pastor preached a sermon at Fresno called Getting the Best Out of Your Family Integrated Church. And I'm gonna take advantage of that tonight. I'm gonna shoot at the young people tonight. And of course, it applies to everybody, just like every sermon applies to young and old. But I'm really focusing towards young people. It's something I've been thinking a lot about over the last year. My son just turned 18 a couple weeks ago. So turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. The title of my sermon tonight is Life Lessons from Samuel. Life Lessons from Samuel. Just as an introduction, if we look at Samuel in the Bible, we can see, if we go back to 1 Samuel 2 in verse number 26, the Bible says that Samuel was in favor with God and men. As a child, as a small child. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel 2 and verse 26, and the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. Now you also have to remember that this was a time when Eli had lost complete control of his sons, his older sons, whom God would eventually kill, these two men. Samuel, even as a child, gained the favor of God and men. You know, he had the favor not just of God, not just if he was this chosen prophet that God knew that he would be, but also men. That means that he was acting in a certain way. Samuel was acting. He was leading his life, even as a child, in a certain direction, and men realized that. You know, the Bible says in James chapter 2, the whole purpose of James chapter 2 is that men will see your works, and that's how you'll perfect your faith. And that's, you know, I can see your faith as a man through your works. So men saw Samuel's works, even as a child, and that's why he had the favor of men. So I want to give three simple lessons tonight from the life of Samuel. The first lesson I want to talk about, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3 again, in verse number 4. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse number 4. This is when, you know, the Bible says that from a young age Samuel was called by God, and the Bible says the Lord called Samuel and he answered and he said, "Here am I." And in verse number 18, if we skip down, the Bible says how, you know, this is how Samuel answered. Basically, God gave Samuel this vision of what he was going to do to Eli, okay? His boss, really. And he talked to Samuel. He the fourth time he finally tells him, Eli tells him, go back to bed. It's God trying to talk to you. And then in verse number, so he gives him this horrible news about this man who's basically raising him. And every time I've read this in the Bible, I almost just think that he's not going to tell him the truth. There's no way he's going to tell him the truth. The Bible says that Samuel feared telling Eli what God had told him. But in verse number 18, the Bible says this. It says, and he says, what is the thing that the Lord had said unto you? Eli's asking Samuel, I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me, all of the things that he said unto thee. And then the Bible says, and Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth good. So the first thing I want to point out about Samuel is that he was honest. And it's very clear in the Bible. But look, he was afraid. If you look back at verse number 15, the Bible says, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. He was afraid, but he told the truth anyway. So Samuel, it takes courage to tell the truth in certain situations. And young people, as you get older, you're going to realize, especially as people around you are not honest, you're going to realize that it's going to take some personal courage to be honest, to be an honest person, and to keep that honesty throughout your life. You see, when other people are being dishonest and other people are being deceptive, it's very easy to just go along with that. What it takes is courage to be afraid of a situation, but to do the right thing anyway. And that's what Samuel did here. Now, parents, you can help out here by training your kids from a young age to not be liars, first of all. You know, give them those building blocks of just not lying. But the Bible says that he hid nothing from him. So if I could give young people today, and I think I might have told my son this maybe a billion times in the last 2 years, but if you want just a general rule of thumb for your life, it's this. Just keep your life above board. Keep your life above board. People, anything that you're doing in secret, according to the Bible, unless it's praying, fasting, or giving alms, is probably bad. So keep your lives, young people, you keep your life above board. People are going to be, as you get out in this world, people are going to be constantly trying to pull you below board. They're going to try to pull you down. Keep your lives above board. So Samuel was honest. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and look down at, let's actually start at verse number 9. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 9. The Bible says, For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, rather reprove them. For it is a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. So here we see that the Bible contrasts the fruit of the Spirit with things done in secret. Turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. You see, if you do things below board in your life and you're keeping secrets and you're doing things, first of all, why are you keeping things secret? That's the first thing. But if you're doing things below board in your life, it's really just it's simple. Assuming that you're saved, it's really just a lack of faith in the Word of God is what it is. Look down at Mark chapter 4 and verse number 22. I mean, how many times do we have to see Mark chapter 4 and verse 22 play out in other people's lives before we learn it ourselves? Mark chapter 4 and verse 22. For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If you're saved today, nothing you're doing in secret will remain hidden. That's the bottom line. It's going to come out, and this is why you need to keep things above board in your life. I mean, how many times do you have to see people fall on their face to learn this lesson? It's really just a lack of faith in the Word of God, that you just don't think that that applies to you. But it does apply to you. You know, you're going to see this at work. Hey, you know, don't do this, but don't tell so-and-so. Small things. I mean, all the adults are nodding their head right now because this is common today. If you're hiding things from your boss, your wife, your parents, not only are you doing things wrong, but they're going to come out. They're going to come out. I just did a gambling sermon on Sunday morning. You're not going to get away with it, saved person. Sorry, but there's no chance that you can walk into a casino, get rich, and have a great life as a saved person. Sorry. You gave that up when you got saved. Amen. There went your winning lottery ticket and wonderful life afterwards, right? I don't think that happens to anybody, by the way. But look, you can't get away with it. Just keep your life above board, especially young people. You're going to be tempted more than others to be drug under and do things in secret, okay? Even the smallest things can turn into huge things in your life, okay? The second point tonight is this. Samuel, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 2. Samuel was not easily influenced by other people. Turn to 1 Samuel in chapter 2 and look at verse number 22. In verse number 12, the Bible says that Eli's children were sons of Belial. They were wicked people. In 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 22, the Bible says, "Now Eli was very old, and heard all that his sons did unto Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, Why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil doings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear, yet ye make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them." Samuel grew up around these men. I mean, he grew up around these wicked men until he was probably in his late teens, I think, is probably when Eli died. Eli was 98. Samuel was, you know, a young man at that point, and yet he kept his integrity through all of this influence. I mean, you will find that there, you're going to find the older you get that there are bad people and bad influences everywhere you go, and you just have to ask yourself, are you the type of person that's easily influenced by others? Because if you are, things are not going to go well for you. You know, are you someone that when you get around people that talk a certain way, starts talking like them? Are you someone that gets around people that acts a certain way, you start mimicking the way that they act? That's weakness. That's immaturity. Samuel obviously did not have this problem, or he would have started mimicking these older, you know, priests that were killed by God. Look, have some confidence in your upbringing. I mean, you're saved, you know, you believe the Bible, act like it. That's the bottom line. Look, you're going to go through a transition in your life where you're a weak child to a strong, grounded adult. You know, you have to transition from this person that, I mean, I feel like I'm talking to Garrett right now, but you have to transition from this person that is nervous about being around people who are different than you to a person who is strong and grounded in your faith. Okay? I mean, you young kids, you remember the electrical class? If you have a wire, no one's going to understand this, but it's such a great analogy. If you have a wire that's solidly grounded, you can't raise the voltage on that wire no matter how hard you try. The wire will melt first. That needs to be you. If you're grounded in the Bible, you should melt before you get your potential move to some bad direction. Okay? I mean, it's logical. I mean, every kid here, raise your hand, do you believe the Bible? Raise your hand. Every kid in here believes the Bible. So if you see something that people are saying, that are doing, they're acting, if it's not right according to the Bible, you know you're right. You know it. I mean, don't be an arrogant jerk about it, but you know you're right. You don't have, you know, so don't be nervous in those types of situations. You have to get used to being in those types of situations and be strong. Be stronger. Be grounded in your faith. The third thing I want to talk about tonight, and this is where I want to spend most of the time, those two were obvious, is this. Samuel was obedient. Samuel was obedient. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse number 4 again. And we'll start at verse number 4, we'll read down to verse number 6. The Bible says this, the Lord called Samuel and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son. Lie down again." He ran to Eli because he figured it must be him. And he just ran to him as fast as he could. Look, kids, young people, I don't care how young you are or if you're even in your 20s, you have an authority structure in your life. I mean, your parents, and then above that, God. I mean, you better get used to that. You better get used to the fact that you have this authority structure in your life. We just studied Romans 13, which basically talks about this authority structure in your life. You better get used to operating within that structure. And the better you get at that, the better off you will be in life. I have seen this one single thing ruin people. The fact that they can't stay within the authority structure in their life. And it might start, young people, with your parents. It might start where you want to get outside that authority structure as quick as possible. And you want to reject that authority structure. But it will continue throughout your life. And it will ruin your life. I mean, you ever met somebody who just can't be under authority? They can't be in a church. They could never be married successfully. They could never raise children. I mean, it could ruin that one single thing. You know, you say you're a young person and you're like, "I don't like being low man on the totem pole." Do you know how much authority structure I have in my life? I have like 5 or 6 bosses at work. I mean, it doesn't change. I have a pastor who I'm under the authority of. It doesn't change. But the better that you can get at operating within your God-ordained authority structure in your life, the more successful you will be at this Christian life. If you can understand what that structure is and stick within it and honor it. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Look, that will gain you the favor of God and man if you can do that. And guess what? It's there to help you grow and to protect you. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 in verse number 11. And the Bible says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Look, pastors and teachers, young people. The teachers are your parents. Those are your teachers if you're 15 years old. You know, you have a pastor. Utilize that. I mean, not a lot of people have a good pastor in this world. Utilize that. You need to use these tools that God's given you. It's a huge advantage that this structure that God has laid out for you. You know, this is why people with like a lot of experience are so valuable. So like somebody who has 30 years experience doing something, they're hugely valuable. Why is that? Because somebody who knows nothing can hire that person that has 30 years of experience, and then it's like they have 30 years of experience. You see? Amen. They didn't have to spend 30 years learning all the things that this person learned the hard way. Instead, they just hire that guy. And all of a sudden, I hired four guys that know how to build houses, and they've got 120 years between them to build houses. Now I can have a house building company, even though I don't even know how to use a hammer. That's how it works. And that's the structure God's given you. He's put these people in your life that have decades and decades and decades of experience to help you springboard your life forward and not do the same things that they've already learned. That's why God put that there for you. You say, you know, I don't want to operate within the authority structure of my life. I know everything. You know, my parents and teachers and pastor, they're holding me back. Well, here's something that you're going to struggle with in your life, young people. Pride. It's a sin that young people are going to struggle with. And we'll see that here in the Bible. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15. So Samuel grew up to be the judge of Israel who anointed the first king. Turn to 1 Samuel 15. Saul was the first king of Israel, and he was ordered to destroy the Amalekites, and he was ordered to destroy everything. He was ordered to destroy men, women, and children, leave nothing alive, including animals, nothing. That's the order that he was given by God through Samuel. He was supposed to kill, you know, take care of everything. And in 1 Samuel chapter 15, Samuel is rebuking Saul because he did not do it. He left some things alive. And Samuel goes up to rebuke him in verse number 17. And Samuel said, "When thou wast little in thine own sight," that means when you were humble, he said to him. "When you were humble, was thou not made head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, 'Go and utterly destroy the sinners of the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed.' Wherefore, then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord." And Saul said unto Samuel, his first reaction to Samuel, "Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way that the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord God in Gilgal." So first of all, he blames it on the people, and then he says, and it was for the Lord. So he does two things there. is the opposite of taking responsibility, is what I'm getting at here. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." So, he just lost the kingdom right there. Over, you know, you're like, over some cows? That's strange. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 12. Let's look at a contrast this with a story about David. And David had, of course, he committed adultery. I mean, arguably a worse thing, adultery and murder, than what Saul did here. And he basically, you know, from men's eyes, he committed adultery with Bathsheba, then he killed her husband. I mean, it's a terrible thing that he did. Nathan the prophet goes and rebukes him. He gives him, the story of the rich man and the poor man. And David basically says, you know, that man that stole that one guy's, that poor man's sheep, you know, the sheep was his pet. And, you know, the rich, David's like, that man should die. But then in 2 Samuel 12 and verse number 7, you see Nathan's response to David. And Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if thou had been too little, I would have moreover given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight. Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. For thou didst it secretly." See? There's another little lesson right there. Anything done in secret is probably not good. Same thing with David here. "But I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun." And David said unto Nathan, first sentence out of his mouth, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said unto David, "The Lord also put away thy sin, thou shalt not die." He got right away. Is the difference here. Now go back to Saul in verse number 20 of 1 Samuel 15. And let's just reread verse number 20 one more time. "And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and I have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, the sheep and the oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord God, Lord thy God, in Gilgal." See, the cows weren't the problem. It was the rebellion that was the problem. It was Saul's rebellion. Your reaction to error is everything. Because it shows where your heart is. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 5. So just a side note, everybody, you better be careful how you answer when caught in error. I mean, notice how quickly the judgment came down on Saul. I mean, he replied with two sentences. And the hammer came down right after that. But here was the real problem. Look at Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse number 23. "But this people hath a revolting and rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone." The rebellion starts in the heart. Now look, I have two teenagers now, and let me tell you something. Teenagers in this world outside of our circles are just in a normalized state of rebellion. Whenever people find out that I have two kids who are teenagers, I'm sick of hearing it. Oh, get ready, they're going to hate you. Or, oh, they're just going to be, because that's what their kids are doing right now. I mean, that's why they're doing it. People are constantly telling me that. You know, look, it's much easier to say that it's normal for kids to just go crazy when they become teenagers than it is to realize that you messed something up, that you didn't do it right, that the kids messed up, that the kids rebelled, and that they're not doing something right. You know, they're going to hate you for a few years, and that's a common one I hear. Look, kids, you're going to go through these experiences where you're going to be figuring out some adult things in this life. You know, working, you know, figuring out how, you know, the world works out there, especially you young men. You know, life as an adult, etc. But you need to do all these things under authority. This is the most dangerous time of your life. Hands down. If you're a young man or a young lady from, you know, 15 to 25, this is the most dangerous time of your life. And if you fall into this worldly attitude of, I don't have to obey my parents, I know better, you know, be careful, because rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, the Bible says. Having a rebellious heart is compared to witchcraft. Think about that. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live, the Bible says. They compare the two sins. The Bible compares the two sins. Having a rebellious heart. I mean, I remember reading this story about Saul when I was younger, thinking, man, this was swift and permanent and harsh. But when you think about it, God takes rebellion seriously. And that's what's going on in this story. And here's another thing. Rebellion can change your life forever. There's things that you can do in rebellion against the authority in your life that you can't undo. You can't undo them. They can define the rest of your life. I mean, I have Garrett's permission to tell this story, but I had a little 18-year-old talk with Garrett when he turned 18. And a lot of these things were just repetition, but hey, I don't mind repeating things because then they remember. But I just told him, I sat him down, I said, hey, you know, you turned 18, and, you know, do you understand what that means according to the Bible? And he's like, no. And I'm like, it means nothing. Nothing. But here's the thing. I've been talking to him over the last year, 2 years, about certain situations. Be like, you know what, I'm going to start taking my hands off the wheel here in this particular situation. Talked about it a little bit more on the 18-year-old talk. I'm going to start taking my hands off the wheel here. But this authority is still here. Amen. This authority is still here. And guess what will happen if you keep that authority there? You will now start learning complex lessons. Because you will get into the world, or you will get into adult situations, and then you have that authority there. And then you can get complex advice on things that you've not seen before, because that authority is there, where you could easily misstep, innocently misstep, thinking that you were doing the right thing. This authority, I can't stress this enough, kids. You have an authority in your life. You need to use it. It is there to protect you. Where these authorities do not contradict the Bible, they have authority over you. It's ordained by God. It's ordained by God. You say, you know, my parents don't understand. You know, look, you know, another thing I said in the talk, I can tell you're starting to figure things out. You're starting to figure some things out. And I'm glad you're starting to figure those things out, but you still know nothing. I said it in a very nice, loving way. But I'm serious. Because it's dangerous to think that because you figured a few things out, now you know what's going on. And to just run by yourself into the wilderness and leave that authority. Look, just meter your pride. Meter your pride. You're gonna do things in the right way, and don't get prideful. Because as a young man, I've been a young man. I know. Don't get prideful. Meter that pride and keep that authority there. It's a huge advantage. I mean, use it. So In conclusion, let me just tell you, if there's three things I could tell you tonight, it'd be this. First of all, turn to Ephesians chapter 4, but it's this. I'll say it again. Samuel was honest from a young age. Just keep your lives above board, young people and kids. People are constantly going to be trying to pull you under. Look, lying is becoming normalized out there. I'm seeing it change from 10 years ago. Lying is becoming normalized. Wicked sins like fornication, pornography, vulgarity in general are becoming normal. Keep your life above board. I've heard one person say that integrity is who you are when nobody else is looking. Who are you when nobody's watching? Because guess what? There's one authority that's always watching you. I mean, once again, do you believe the Bible or not? Because that's what the Bible says. But when you become firm in your standards, that's when people are going to look at you as a young person and say, you know, that's a young lady of character. Or that's a young man with some integrity. People are going to start noticing that quickly, especially today. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse number 14. The Bible says that henceforth, be no more children. Isn't that what these kids want, to not be children anymore? Don't these kids want to grow up? Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Look, that's what you want. So get grounded in the Bible. You want to be no more children. You want to be an adult. So get grounded. Don't be tossed to and fro. Have some courage. And stand up like Samuel is. Samuel was afraid. Samuel was afraid. He was afraid to tell Eli, but he told him anyway. That's what you need. That's what will set you apart. Number two, guard yourself against this rebellion. Guard yourself against it. It's a sin that you may struggle with as a young person, but you must win this battle. Because rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. I'll say it again. And it could define the rest of your life. And whoever you're rebelling against, I hope that you never lose the fear of God in your life. Because God is always going to be an authority over you. So all you have to do is listen to the Word of God, follow your pastor and your teachers, your parents. You know, Samuel started as an honest, obedient child and grew into one of the finest men of God in the Bible. I mean, there's not just great works that are going to happen in this world, just in the Bible, by the way. Did you know that? Did you know that there's great works to be done? Forward? There's great works that haven't been done yet. And the kids, the young people in this church, in our church, they have a springboard like nothing I've ever seen. But you got to operate within this authority. That's the springboard. You understand? Operate within that authority. And just use that springboard. I mean, Daniel said, the people that do know their God should be strong and do exploits. I mean, that could be you. That could be you. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for all these people, Lord. I thank you for just these wonderful people in this church that have been supporting us, Lord. I thank you for the Bible, and I just thank you for what it can do in the lives of people young and old, Lord. I thank you for all the people in Fresno, all the people here that are just growing and growing and growing from the Bible, Lord. And I pray for all the young people, Lord, that you would just strengthen them in your word and in their faith, that when they get out into this, they start journeying out into this wicked world, Lord, that you would just help them to be grounded and understand that, you know, who they are and what they believe, and and just carry that through in their actions, Lord. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.